Welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bass. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing today, Joe?
One, two, three. I'm doing okay. Hey, that's right. I don't have to pause every time I talk now.
That's right. You're back.
And you know, the other thing is,
48 states.
I got this brand new T-Mobile thing before I left, this cell phone, and now it's, yeah, I got it back and it's working, and I still don't have a clue how it works. It's too fancy for the likes of me.
Well, I'm sure your daughters could show you how to use it, because the kids now, I got a BlackBerry. Got a BlackBerry quite a while ago, actually, and I can do most of the stuff on it, but when I take it to the movie theater, like the 15-year-old girls will grab it and go, oh, here, did you know it could do this? And they'll be like, I don't, it works some magic on the damn thing. And they're able to get just about everything except to get it to give them a ride to work. So you're back.
Yeah.
From outer space.
Close, just rural Alaska.
It also means the show's going to get offline a lot faster because I don't have to spend 4.5 hours editing everything.
Yeah, we'll just have to drop it a few times just to make you feel better.
Oh, that's good.
And now that I'm back, too, I have a better shot at getting that $20 bill out of your pocket.
Oh, that's right. This here radio show has a sponsor, ladies and gentlemen. As I move the $20 bill from one pocket to the other, that sponsor is Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com, the online comic strip about the lowest-rated cable news station. It's written by me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and drawn by Dainty Dan Moore. And if I keep calling him that, maybe he'll come on the show.
I don't know. He might be too dainty for podcasting.
It's available every Tuesday and Thursday. New strips. Tons of fun. Go there and check it out.
Cool.
Uh-oh. Fresh news.
Breaking news. I got nothing to break.
We've got breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to the Sci-Fi Channel. September 24th, from the mind of Roger Corman, Sharktopus.
I thought you were going to say that, you know, the complete season of Doctor Who would be out like November 10th.
No, that's not important.
Or that in November 2010, we get part one of the final Harry Potter movie. And then in July 2011 is the final part of the Harry Potter movie.
No one cares about that stuff. They care about Sharktopus.
I thought you were going to say that on Saturday, October 16th at the fairgrounds, which right now, if you happen to go to the Minnesota fairgrounds, the Minnesota Fair is actually going on. So as
they have a fair there?
I know. It's just amazing. And what we always tell people every year, and nobody does, is that our good friend Nick of the MCBA runs the 1919 root beer booth. It's the best root beer at the fair. Go in and say that the Crazy Comics podcast said that you would comp him or comp you a cup of the awesome root beer. I tell people to do this every year when I have my comic store. I said, go there and ask for it. I have no idea if people do or not because Nick's a very generous guy. If he knows you, your money's no good there anyways. But just go up and tell him you heard on some Crazy Comic podcast that Nick would give you a free root beer. But after it's all done and over with, on Saturday, October 16th, FallCon 2010 will happen. It's the MCBA FallCon Comic Book Party, the one-day wonder. We're getting more details. As I said, October 16th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, the Progress Center. It's going to be a ton of stuff, free creator autographs, free parking, free portfolio reviews, hundreds of door prizes, costume characters, over 100 comic book creators, dealers from all over the U.S. Tickets at the door, $7. Children 9 and under get in free. And, of course, you bring a can of food for the food shelf, you get $1 off. You can go right to their website, MidwestComicBook.com. I will post it on our Facebook page. And, of course, you can always check it out on our own web page. What's that web page, Corey?
CrazyComics.SolitaireRose.com, also part of the Solitaire Rose family of websites.
And, of course, you can always email us at crazycomics, that's K-R-A-Y-Z-C-O-M-I-C-S, at gmail.com. Well, you'd think there'd be some other way to get a hold of us, wouldn't you?
Well, there is.
What?
This here podcast now has a phone number.
No.
You can call and leave a message for us at 952-856-0519. That's right, 952-856-0519. Leave a message and we'll play it on the air. But you cut me off from talking about Sharktopus.
Well, actually, I got something I got to talk about, too.
But Sharktopus has Eric Roberts, the brother of famed Hollywood legend Julia Roberts. So this guy's a major star.
Nobody's ever heard of.
Going to be in Sharktopus. Best movie ever.
You haven't even seen it yet.
Doesn't matter. It's half shark, half octopus.
I don't know, Corey. Self-control is knowing you can, but deciding you won't. Oh, well.
By the way, just as a side note here, on September 1st, a man was arrested for trying to sneak 97 MF'n snakes onto an MF'n plane.
Yeah, the snakes we don't like. Turtles are fine.
The smuggler who recently served 6 years in a U.S. prison for similar crimes was detained by authorities at the airport in Kuala Lumpur earlier this week after airport employees spotted the snakes slithering out of his busted suitcase as it passed down a conveyor belt. Joe, have you ever dealt with MF'n snakes? Trying to get on an MF'n plane.
No, usually, you know, maggots from things that are rotted, like, you know, put a box full of unrefrigerated fish and bring it in from, like, a tropical country, say, like, India. And, you know, a lot of black flies and maggots show up. But other than that, no, not really.
Well, that's all I've got. Good night, everybody.
Good night. How much time was that? Oh, wait a minute. We still got more time here. We only did 10 minutes.
That's right, 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, and we have yet to talk about comics, but I've wasted 9 of it on Sharktopus.
Yeah, I'm just mad because someone erased Giant Octopus versus Mega Shark. So now I got to go buy the DVD.
Hey, and guess what? Oh, you're going to love this. I don't know if it's a sequel or not, but coming out in 2011, starring Debbie Gibson, Megapython versus Gatoroid.
That, you know, that actually sounds like something you might find at the state fair on a stick. I mean, seriously, starting today, they're selling camel on a stick. They figure that a couple Somalian businessmen figured, why not? It's a delicacy back where they're from. Man, you know, I wish I had the company selling sticks to all the fairs across the country, you know? That is a money-making idea right there. I got to get some of my best people on it.
Okay, Megapython versus Gatoroid is not, repeat, not a sequel to Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Because in Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, she played Emma. You, of course, remember that.
No, remember, I didn't see it. I'm very bitter about it. Thanks for ruining another bit of the movie.
In Megapython versus Gatoroid, she plays a character named Nikki.
Oh, well, why the heck even bother watching it now?
So it's, you know, completely
just
different.
Give it all away.
You can join up for Deborah Gibson's Twitter. She's tweeted 494 times.
Nah, I still have a semblance of a life.
This is actually comic relief. Joe Quesada
celebrates 10 years as editor-in-chief of Marvel.
Story I've got, Diamond has moved comics delivery date to Tuesday.
Terrence Greep just spared the life of a kamikaze chipmunk.
Maybe it was better with you in Alaska. Diamond has actually said that they are going to be moving their delivery to comic shops on Tuesdays. But you still can't put the comics out till Wednesdays.
Actually been debated for a while. They talked about that when I had a comic shop, and I wish they would have done it, because that was always one of the big things on Wednesday is, you get the books, and you work hard to get them out. I mean, we went to crazy lengths when I had the big store to try to get an edge up on everybody else. I mean, we used to have a Capital City warehouse in town where we'd actually pick up the books, which was nice because we'd get them all at the same time. Sometimes when we first started, I mean, we'd show up at like 6 in the morning because you wanted to get there before he took off at 7, because then he went to deliver books to the mega chain Shinders. So that would give you extra time. Then, of course, they moved the delivery date to Thursday. Well, what would happen is he had to have certain time to get the boxes sorted into piles, because he basically, the truck would show up, push all these boxes at him, say, here they are, and then he'd have to figure out whose boxes are whose. So what we would do is if you showed up too early on Thursday, he wouldn't let you in. Eventually, we did get in because we helped him. And then you'd have to, hopefully, he closed at 5, so hopefully he'd be done before 5 so you could get your books. Otherwise, you had to wait till Friday morning again. When Capital City lost a lot of accounts, like that was back when everybody started going exclusive, Image or Marvel went exclusive with Diamond, DC, Dark Horse followed, like the, folding chairs they are. And so pretty soon Cap City did not have enough to actually sustain these little warehouses around town. So they closed the warehouse. Then it got to be, okay, you can meet in an abandoned field across the freeway for the Cap City truck, which you couldn't miss because it had a giant Batman on it, to stop and drop off your comic books. Or you could UPS them, which never really worked unless you had a good UPS guy. You're never quite sure when they'd show up. But we went to doing air freight. So what would happen is we'd be up at 10 o'clock at night waiting for the plane to land, knowing an hour later our books would be ready, so we could get them at midnight to bring them back and either get them ready so by the time we opened, or just, have them ready at 6 a.m. And it's just on and on and on. And, towards the end, we found the best way to do it was just have them picked up at the UPS warehouse. So I could go get it at 8 o'clock, load them in my truck, bring it back. It still gave me less than 3 hours to get over $5,000 worth of books out and ready. You always have people showing up at noon, like me, want your stuff right away. Most people would show up later on in the afternoon, but, between the toys and the T-shirt and the comics and the pull service and everything, it just took forever. It was really, Wednesday was the only day of the week I actually worked hard when I had the comic store. But I mean, it's a constant thing. The big thing we wanted, we always told Diamond, well, why don't you just do like everybody else? You ship the stuff early with street dates. Oh no, we don't want to do that. What would happen if somebody put them out early? And I know people like that even in town. They get the books, they put them out. They don't care. They didn't want to police it. They didn't want to have to be the bad guy. If Target, Best Buy, Walmart, whatever, they put out a DVD on Monday before they're supposed to sell it, they get penalized. They might lose co-op funds for advertising. They might not get, they're going to tell Walmart, yeah, we're not going to ship things until the last minute. But the point is, there are consequences for that if it happens. Well, Diamond didn't want to get in the policing business. Could you imagine if Shinders put all their books out early and every store in town complained about it, and Diamond's going to look at Shinders, at the time, the largest account, if not ever in Diamond, but definitely here in the cities, 13-plus stores, and they're going to say, well, you're going to get penalized because you put your books out early. And Diamond be like, oh, or Cinders, I don't think so. Well, so Diamond just backed off, and they just figured, forget about it. We're not going to deal with it. Until now.
And you've heard they're going to be, if you get the Tuesday delivery and you don't already have it, they will charge you $5 a shipment. And there will be secret shoppers. At least that's what it has said in the press release. So, now one of the things that most people don't know, if you've got more than one account, let's say...
The mystery shopper thing's still being reviewed because apparently retailers would have to pay $5 a week to pay for these mystery shoppers.
Right.
And they're like, say what? Anyways.
Now, one thing most people don't know, if you have more than one shop, you get your books on Tuesday.
If you're an extremely huge shop, like sometimes the source will get their stuff early.
You know why they get it early, though? Because I asked Nick about it.
Yeah, I thought he said they FedEx it, but I might be wrong on that.
No. They have two shops.
Oh, no, yeah, the Uncle Sven's where I always buy my stuff.
Yep. When the consequences of them buying Uncle Sven's is that they now have two shops. So they get their books a day early.
And they are responsible, too. There's times where I've gone in on Tuesday night. I usually don't. I just happen to be there. And they're laying out all the books. But they pretty much tell me that these are not for sale until tomorrow. You know, and they're working their pull service and things like that. And really, the source, 10 o'clock. All right. Uh-oh. Sad news.
Sad news, everyone. The comic book Madame Xanadu is canceled with the November issue. I believe it's issue 26.
So that's, what, 4 graphic novels it's going to be eventually?
Yeah, but they've only put out 2 so far.
Yeah, and I know I ordered them, but I haven't gotten them.
Sales on it weren't great, but they weren't terrible either. There are other Vertigo books that sell worse. Most people believe that it's because the artist is moving over to work at regular DC. The artist is moving over to DC Universe proper, where she'll be doing some stuff with Batwoman, is what I've heard. And Matt Wagner, he's doing, he's done some stuff over at Dynamite Comics, but what I'm hoping is that with Madame Xanadu ending, this might mean, maybe, cross your fingers, work might be beginning on Mage 3.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Yes, it would. I would be very excited. I am a huge Mage fan, to the point of having a tattoo of the logo. So, Joe, is having a tattoo of a comic book logo, is that kind of like the pinnacle of geek?
Not really. They're pretty common.
It used to be.
I think putting a Pepsi logo on your arm is pretty bizarre, especially if they're not paying for it. But what do I know? I did not get to go see the comic shops in Anchorage like I wanted to. When we went through Anchorage on the way home, we basically stopped at Walmart, went insane over the low, low prices, at least compared to what was in Dillingham. And then we went to Outback Steakhouse, and full and drunk, we stumbled back to the airport. So if I ever get back to Anchorage, I'll have to check out those comic shops.
But breaking news I've got. Some of you know I'm working part-time in a theater while I'm looking for a job. Looking for a full-time job still. So if you know of any, let me know. We just put in IMAX. We have an IMAX theater now at the theater I work at. And we're showing Avatar in 3D. Ooh, IMAX 3D. Ooh. Well, Sunday night, I'm working at the theater, and one of the managers comes up with 2 of the little short brooms they use, and 2 flashlights, and a garbage bag. And he says to me, can you come with me to Theater 3? We have a problem. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, someone made a mess, somebody spilled their popcorn, maybe somebody got motion sick. Nope. We got bats in the theater. Not one, two.
You sure it wasn't just a reel of an old Batman movie left in the corner?
Here's what I was saying. You know, why should we bother to catch the bats? Just when people say there are bats in the theater, go, no, the 3D is just that realistic. But, Joe, you've been in...
It's kind of like watching old episodes of Big Brother on YouTube. It's just, you know, different.
You've been to the mega screen over in... where is that?
Oh, the Marcus Theater in Oakdale.
All right. Now, the IMAX isn't quite as big or as tall, but you've looked up at the ceiling and seen how high up the ceiling is.
Yeah, and I get vertigo. Ugh.
Now, imagine if there are bats up there, and all you've got to chase them are two little three-foot brooms, two flashlights, and a garbage bag.
Now, that sounds like a movie. Corey versus the Bats.
I look up, I see the bats are up, you know, around the ceiling, and I go, well, we're going to have to call an exterminator. No, no, no. When they come down, they swing at them like baseball. And I said, they're not going to come down. They don't want anything to do with us. Trust me, especially if you're swinging stuff at them. So they tried for about a half hour. The bats never did come down, although they got really, really angry at the sound in the theater.
I suppose, in a real sense. I'm surprised they would stick around considering the type of sound system they have. Bats are real sensitive to the, you know, ultrasonics and that. It must drive them insane.
I was just amazed that, you know, how did they get in? I don't want to know.
They can squeeze through very little holes.
Came in the next day, and yeah. No one knew anything about the bats. It was like Crisis on Infinite Bats. I came in, so did we get rid of the bats? What bats?
What bats? They probably left. Neighborhood was too loud.
Hey, they probably left because they didn't like the movie.
You got the, I hope they didn't, probably asked for a refund, too. Hey, do you got the sad music queued up?
Yeah, hold on.
Let her rip.
Uh-oh, more sad news, ladies and gentlemen.
Due to recent cutbacks, and until further notice, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off.
Boy, I knew the economy was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad.
And we're not talking Michael Jackson bad. You know, I didn't come all the way back from Alaska just to have technical problems.
Yeah, but these are normal technical problems.
I could have stayed in Alaska for all that. Of course, you know, it's hard to get the moose this time of year to stay in one spot. Oh, well.
And isn't it already snowing up there?
Somewhere. Speaking of somewhere, what was the last thing we got down?
We were talking about bats.
Oh, yeah, the bats.
Now, one of the things, we're recording a little earlier than Joe wanted to. Joe, you had other plans today. What were you doing today?
I was going to have caffeine. Caffeine good.
Well, then after that.
Of caffeine delivery system was Diet Mountain Dew. Oh, after that, let's see. The three S's, and I'll edit one. Crap, shower, shave.
I keep giving you the lead in, and you keep fumbling it.
And then I'd probably get dressed.
Okay,
hey,
after
I
that.
I do have pants on. Thanks for asking.
And after that?
Well, today I had to go to the dentist and get my teeth cleaned.
I'm trying to give you a lead in that you were going to the comic shop.
You're saying it's Wednesday. Is there something special happens on Wednesdays?
You've been away from civilization for way too long. You know that, right?
Actually, I'm just teasing because I stopped in at my comic shop of choice, and you don't realize how tough this was because I got home last Wednesday, and after my 20-hour flight ordeal, or I should say, I got home on Monday. I think that was the 20th. And after showering and passing out for 9 hours, I woke up on Tuesday going, where am I? It was funny because as the plane was coming down, I was with a gentleman and his daughter. She was five, I believe. And we're coming down. It was about 5:30 in the morning. sun wasn't quite up, and he looks down and he's like, my God, look at all the cars. What is going on? And I looked at him and said, that's just the beginning of rush hour. You know, because he's from a city, you know, about 30 miles north of Anchorage, and they just have nothing like that. You know, and the, you know, miles of lights, you know, just amazing. I didn't go to the comic shop last Wednesday, but I did go in on Sunday because I wanted to see my old partner and buddy, Pat, because he works part-time there, and I happen to know that last Sunday was one of his days. Plus, I also wanted to make his Sunday one for the record book, since I pretty much picked up everything I had waiting for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the wife allowed that.
We didn't say that. So I did pick up everything, and I had a little room on the credit card. And basically, I had about a long box of graphic novels, and I'd say half of that, maybe a little bit more than that, were showcases and various essential books. And then I had a short box that was pretty much all my comic books, and it was packed. And even then, there were just a couple mistakes, and it was kind of fun. You know, today we're recording this on a Wednesday. I'm going to go in and get this week's books, and then I got to go run around and pick up some of the books I'm missing. But for the most part, they did a pretty good job. There's only one major mistake, and I had to deal with the three books that Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. They had me down just for the big ones, the 700 and 600 issue, and I wanted the everything continuing forward. I was able to get all the Wonder Woman, all the Superman, but I'm still missing one of the Batman. So, but I should be able to find that today when I go out, because we've got lots of places in town to hunt.
Yep. Now, if I didn't have to work, I'd probably be riding along with you.
Oh, that would be fun. But we'll have some other Wednesdays. Well, probably yep. not. I got to go back to real work next week. Bah, humbug.
And as you said before you left Alaska, you know, what'll probably happen is we start putting a plan together, and then, oh, guess what? I'm being sent to Hoboken, New Jersey for a year.
You know, one of the things that this group does that I'm with in TSA, the National Employment Force, they do get sent to forward areas during hurricanes. And as you know, as we're recording, the Hurricane Earl is churning off the East Coast. I'm still on vacation time right now, so I probably won't be deployed. But something like that happens, you know, I'd be gone almost overnight. I might not even get a chance to tell you I'm gone, but that's just the way it is, you know. The last time I think Hurricane Rita hit Houston area, I wasn't with the group at the time, but a bunch of them went forward, and they kept moving them around because they weren't quite sure where the hurricane was going to hit. Was it going to go north, hit Louisiana? Was it going to go south, go to Mexico? So these guys would go to Houston, they get pulled back, and then go north and go south. And, you know, for 4 days, it was almost every day they were moved around. Finally, hurricane came to shore. They were ready. They came into Houston. They got to the airport. The power was off, so they went to where FEMA had all the MREs and supplies set up. FEMA wasn't there yet. So these guys, they had the uniform. They started passing out MREs and water to people that obviously couldn't get anything because no power. So, but that was a hectic day to listen to them. Obviously, they didn't get to visit any comic stores. So the first thing I did once I got my booty back home and in the basement, where my wife couldn't find it, I grabbed the previews for September. And I just went through that and made myself a previews order. So I'm not going to talk about what's coming up. We can do that later. But things I grabbed and I read were, of course, what we've been talking about over the last couple of podcasts. Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. Well, before I could delve into Superman, I had to read part four of The War of the Superman. Because as I left, part four was coming out the Wednesday after I was gone, so I didn't get a chance to read it. I did, and like I said, this is basically coming into the final act of a huge multi-year saga that kind of sunk Superman sales for a while, but not bad. Art was good. The one thing I didn't like, you don't have a spoiler alert noise, do you?
Hold on, let's see. Oh, and we'll also see if it makes the recording crash again. But now that you're back, we can start using sounds, and we do have spoiler alert.
Yeah. You know, I didn't come all the way back from Alaska just to have technical problems.
Yeah, but these are normal technical problems.
I could have stayed in Alaska for all that. Of course, you know, it's hard to get the moose this time of year to stay in one spot. Oh, well.
And isn't it already snowing up there?
Somewhere. Speaking of somewhere, what was the last thing we got down?
We were talking about bats.
Oh, yeah, the bats.
Now, one of the things, we're recording a little earlier than Joe wanted to. Joe, you had other plans today. What were you doing today?
I was going to have caffeine. Caffeine good.
Well, then after that.
Of caffeine delivery system was Diet Mountain Dew. Oh, after that, let's see. The three S's, and I'll edit one. Crap, shower, shave.
I keep giving you the lead in, and you keep fumbling it.
And then I'd probably get dressed.
Okay,
hey,
after
I
that.
Do have pants on. Thanks for asking.
And after that?
Well, today I had to go to the dentist and get my teeth cleaned.
I'm trying to give you a lead in that you were going to the comic shop.
You're saying it's Wednesday. Is there something special happens on Wednesdays?
You've been away from civilization for way too long. You know that, right?
Actually, I'm just teasing because I stopped in at my comic shop of choice, and you don't realize how tough this was because I got home last Wednesday, and after my 20-hour flight ordeal, or I should say I got home on Monday. I think that was the 20th. And after showering and passing out for 9 hours, I woke up on Tuesday going, where am I? It was funny because as the plane was coming down, I was with a gentleman and his daughter. She was 5, I believe. And we're coming down. It was about 5:30 in the morning. Sun wasn't quite up. And he looks down and he's like, my God, look at all the cars. What is going on? And I looked at him and said, that's just the beginning of rush hour. You know, because he's from a city, you know, about 30 miles north of Anchorage, and they just have nothing like that. You know, and the, you know, miles of lights, you know, just amazing. I didn't go to the comic shop last Wednesday, but I did go in on Sunday because I wanted to see my old partner and buddy, Pat. Because he works part-time there, and I happen to know that last Sunday was one of his days. Plus, I also wanted to make his Sunday one for the record book, since I pretty much picked up everything I had waiting for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the wife allowed that.
We didn't say that. So, I did pick up everything, and I had a little room on the credit card, and basically, I had about a long box of graphic novels, and I'd say half of that, maybe a little bit more than that, were showcases and various essential books. And then I had a short box that was pretty much all my comic books, and it was packed. And even then, there were just a couple mistakes, and it was kind of fun. You know, today we're recording this on a Wednesday. I'm going to go in and get this week's books, and then I got to go run around and pick up some of the books I'm missing. But for the most part, they did a pretty good job. There's only one major mistake, and that had to deal with the three books that Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. They had me down just for the big ones, the 700 and 600 issue, and I wanted everything continuing forward. I was able to get all the Wonder Woman, all the Superman, but I'm still missing one of the Batman. But I should be able to find that today when I go out because we've got lots of places in town to hunt.
Yep. Now, if I didn't have to work, I'd probably be riding along with you.
Oh, that would be fun. But we'll have some other Wednesdays. Well, probably yep. Not. I got to go back to real work next week. Bah, humbug.
And as you said before you left Alaska, you know, what'll probably happen is we start putting a plan together and then, oh, guess what? I'm being sent to Hoboken, New Jersey for a year.
You know, one of the things that this group does that I'm with in TSA, the National Employment Force, they do get sent to forward areas during hurricanes. And as you know, as we're recording, the Hurricane Earl is churning off the East Coast. I'm still on vacation time right now, so I probably won't be deployed. But something like that happens, you know, I'd be gone almost overnight. I might not even get a chance to tell you I'm gone, but that's just the way it is, you know. The last time I think Hurricane Rita hit Houston area, I wasn't with the group at the time, but a bunch of them went forward, and they kept moving them around because they weren't quite sure where the hurricane was going to hit. Was it going to go north, hit Louisiana? Was it going to go south, go to Mexico? So these guys would go to Houston, they get pulled back, and then go north and go south. And, they, you know, for 4 days, it was almost every day they were moved around. Finally, hurricane came to shore. They were ready. They came into Houston. They got to the airport. The power was off. So they went to where FEMA had all the MREs and supplies set up. FEMA wasn't there yet. So these guys, they had the uniform. They started passing out MREs and water to people that obviously couldn't get anything because no power. So, but that was a hectic day to listen to them. Obviously, they didn't get to visit any comic stores. So the first thing I did once I got my booty back home and in the basement where my wife couldn't find it, I grabbed the previews for September. And I just went through that and made myself a previews order. So I'm not going to talk about what's coming up. We can do that later. But things I grabbed and I read were, of course, what we've been talking about over the last couple of podcasts. Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. Well, before I could delve into Superman, I had to read part four of The War of the Superman. Because as I left, part four was coming out the Wednesday after I was gone. So I didn't get a chance to read it. I did. And like I said, this is basically coming into the final act of a huge multi-year saga that kind of sunk Superman sales for a while. But not bad. Art was good. The one thing I didn't like, you don't have a spoiler alert noise, do you?
Hold on, let's see. Oh, and we'll also see if it makes the recording crash again. But now that you're back, we can start using sounds, and we do have spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And we're back.
You mean you missed my entire rant? I went on for at least a good half hour. You could have told me we weren't recording.
But it was so funny to hear you go on and on and on about how angry you are about where they put the staples in comics now.
I know. It was a thing of beauty. It just flowed. But I think the last thing, like I was complaining about, was just that War of the Superman number four. The whole cliche where the out-of-control military leader, rather than have him go to court and pay for his crimes, no, he just blows his head off. Boring, cliche. I mean, come on. I expect better from Robinson.
Well, let's remember, it is comic, so he might not be dead.
Yeah, but it's just boring. I mean, I haven't been this torqued off since, what was that issue of 52 or Countdown? It must have been Countdown, where I think it was Wonder Girl, whatever she's calling herself now, Kyle Rayner, and Jason Todd, they brought this virus into one of the 52 Earths that ended up killing everybody and making Commandy the Last Boy scenario?
Yes.
You know, they knew they had the virus. They knew they were going in with it. They killed millions, but they just went on to the next Earth. Never got punished. I'm sorry. The only other thing that's got me this fired up, Action Comics 890, okay?
Okay.
Start of a promising storyline, but again, you're doing something. Oh, let's make Lex Luthor just a real villain, okay? He's going to kill a guy who just happened to disagree with him. And, of course, he did club Luthor on the head. So what happens? Great. We got this guy, super villain, ends up killing a family man, and he's, you know, he'll never pay for that crime. I mean, they're making Lex Luthor the way the Joker is. The Joker's dull, boring, because unlike the Punisher, who's fairly entertaining and max titles when he kills, it's boring when the Joker kills. He'll never pay for his crimes. What's the point? You know, same thing with Lex Luthor. I'm like, you know, Jim Shooter had a thing about, you know, Jean Grey. She killed, she has to pay the piper. It's like villains nowadays, especially the arch ones, let's just kill at random. It just doesn't mean anything, you know? It's like everybody except the main characters are wearing red shirts in every single Marvel or DC comic that I read. Nevertheless, I did sign up for Action because barring Lex Luthor's just kill him line, it'd be kind of interesting to see where they're going with this, especially since Superman apparently is going on a big walkabout. Did you get to read Superman at all?
Yes, I am reading Superman.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a little cliche the way he started. How come you weren't saving my husband and while you were off saving the billions of people on the planet? You know, I actually thought it was going to be a different cliche. I thought because of the actions that somebody she knew died and she's blaming Superman, kind of like they did in Iron Man. They went a different direction. Again, you know, for some reason, Superman's doing what Green Lantern and Green Arrow did in the 70s. Let's just walk across the Earth, which would be something. If I had superpowers and I didn't have to be fed or anything, I'd just go walking. There's a lot of cool things out there just to be found. And so far with 701 and 702, it's been fairly entertaining, just the different people's reaction as they happen to run across Superman walking. My favorite was, I hope spoiler warnings still occur, but my favorite was the guy on the porch. Hey, man, Superman's walking in town. Should we check him out? Nah, he ain't after here. Superman walks by. Morning. Guy never looks up. So we'll see how long this walkabout lasts, but so far I've enjoyed it.
I have a problem with the walkabout. Have I discussed it on this here podcast?
No, because remember, this, I just got my comics, so we really haven't talked about new comics for pretty much the last 9 weeks.
Okay. I'm reading it, and you're right. It's a decent enough story. Here's my problem. It reads like the old Hulk TV show. Superman comes to a place. There's a problem. He resolves the problem, helps everybody with their life, and then, you know, moves on. And you almost expect the sad piano music to play as it's walking away. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. That's not what I want in a Superman comic book. Now, in a Superman TV show, it would be great. It would be a really cool idea. But this is a comic book. I want to see Superman doing Superman stuff. I want to see him flying. I want to see him fighting bad guys. I want to see big action sequences, and we're not going to get them. We're not going to get any action sequences until this story is over.
This is almost like it's a counterpoint from what we've been seeing from the last year when Robinson, that's all we did see was action. You know, granted, Kryptonians fighting everybody else, but like you said, I don't know how long he's going on with this storyline, but so far the first two issues are interesting enough. Different.
Well, my other problem is now this is the only Superman book. You know, you have Superman, Batman, but those are kind of out of continuity special stories now, which is weird because when the book started, it was this is main continuity and it sold great. Now it's, oh, these are stories that fit in somewhere. There was a tie-in to some old crossover in one of them. No, I want Superman stories. Damn it!
Yeah,
I want Superman stories somewhere.
You'd think with all the plethora of titles they come on, you know, fine, Action's going to cover Lex for a while. Superboy's romping around. I think he's in Adventure Comics, if not getting ready for his own title.
Yep, he'll have his own title soon.
You think they should have another Superman book out there, even if it's just miniseries? I mean, you don't have to go overboard like Marvel is with everything. Good God, I tried to read the Marvel catalog, and everything's a miniseries of something else. And like you said, no idea where they fit. Is this a current story? Is this a noir story? Is this a first-class story? You know, whatever.
I don't even want to count how many comics Wolverine's in. I tried to.
He's got to be a clone.
No. My solution to the whole Wolverine's in every book... Somewhere, somebody spliced his genetics with Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man.
Well, you know,
Been punched so many times, he's in 25 books.
I like that one. I also figure when he was reincarnated from the one blood cell, there's probably more than one lying around. course, there's that goofy Wolverine robot they never figured out what to do with.
Yeah, I hated that story.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up. It's not like I brought up Deathmate.
I haven't been able to read Deathmate yet, so you bring it up all you want.
But you bought them. Not that it means anything. I've
I've tried to read them.
It's huge.
I said I tried to read them.
Well, okay. How about Wonder Woman? Did you try to read Wonder Woman?
I read the issue 600.
That was kind of a fun catch-all issue, you know, just kind of a grandiose issue the way key numbers used to be. You know, let's get a bunch of creators together and let's have some fun with different stories, different pinups. And it started out with a bang, too, because you open it up and there's a picture of Linda Carter around 1970, and she's doing a little half-page thing about Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And from what I understand, she probably looks the same.
I read it, and I had two reactions to it. First was, boy, I wish George Perez was still writing Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
His story was head and shoulders above everybody else's. Why isn't Perez writing anything now? And my second was when I got to the JMS story was, oh, good, it's another alternate universe, alter the past, forget it, I'm done.
You know, I had that same reaction. I was a bit disappointed. But I also am willing to play along with it because it'll be interesting to see her out of her element because I've been so disenchanted with everything else. There's been little glimpses of brilliance. I think when Deodato was doing Wonder Woman, of course, I think, what was her name? Artemis was Wonder Woman. She was just running around in a black halter top.
Yeah.
That I actually enjoyed it. But I just thought it was interesting. I'm trying to find, I think it was in 602, there's a scene where Wonder Woman is coming down upon the army that's hunting down the Amazons. And it's beautiful because the artist, I mean, does spot on woman. But at the same time, it's terrifying because of this is just death incarnate coming down on you. And it'll be interesting to see if this has any lasting effects when she finally snaps back to reality, or if this is just going to be one of those things like, you know, well, technically Wonder Woman and Superman were off on a 1,000-year war, and they came back pretty much unscathed. you know, Doctor Strange did the same thing, but then again, you know, he is strange. So, you know, if they, depending on what they do with it, depends on what happens there. But like I said, I like Straczynski. Just like I'm doing with Wade in that Captain Marvel miniseries or Captain America miniseries, I'll give him a chance, see where he's going with it. I've been entertained with the last couple issues, and as long as it stays $2.99, I'll probably stick with it.
Okay. Here's another problem I have with Wonder Woman. And I actually did a little research on this because I was going to talk about it next time, but we'll talk about it now.
Okay.
Wonder Woman changes direction more often than I have Pat Gruber put bacon on my veggie burger.
Ah, bacon, bacon, good.
Okay. So let's start in the 60s. After a while, Wonder Woman sales were in the toilet. Around the mid-60s, they said, hey, you know what? Here's an idea. We're going to have Wonder Woman go back to the 40s. Except instead of fighting Nazis, she'll fight commies. And about 2 years later, when sales were even worse, they brought Wonder Woman back to the present and had her become pretty much like Superman, where she fought gorillas, and that's where Egg Foo came from.
Egg Foo. He's no yolk no more.
And that didn't help. So then we got the, forget the old, the new Wonder Woman is here, where she had the purple pants suit and used Kung Fu.
No powers, yep.
And they killed off Steve Trevor.
They got better.
Well, and then after a while, well, that's not working either. So, okay, we're going to bring them all back. And it turned into kind of a bland, regular superhero book. Then, when the Wonder Woman TV show started up, they went over to Earth 2, and Wonder Woman was fighting Nazis again.
Again with the Nazis. And you saw how well that worked with us at ABC, because they canceled the series, and then it went over to CBS. They brought her forward into the future, the current day, and when at least they went two more seasons with her. But there really hasn't been a definitive Wonder Woman. I don't know.
Well, hold on. I'm nowhere near done here.
Okay.
Because she stayed in the comics. She stayed over in World War II in her main book. But then in her backup stories in World's Finest, it was the modern era Wonder Woman. Until about a year or two after the series was canceled. Then, you know, some more bland modern stuff. They gave it to Roy Thomas and Gene Colan when they came over from Marvel. And Colan did a redesign, and Roy Thomas did what Roy Thomas does. And after about a year or so, they left.
Was that when they changed it from Stars to a W?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that because Frank Miller did a really snazzy cover or two, if I recall.
Yeah, he did.
Now, notice I mentioned nothing about the story because I don't really remember it that well.
Well, there was a recent interview with Roy Thomas where he said it was a book he didn't even want to write. But DC said, look, the book is tanking. We need somebody to do something with it. Here, maybe you can think of something to do.
And if I recall right, that was right before issue 300.
Yep. And then about 2 years later, it was canceled.
Was that before Crisis?
During Crisis.
Ah, I remember that. Mostly anti-monitor, ruining all my fun.
Then you had the George Perez era, which I liked.
Yeah.
That's almost the only era of Wonder Woman where I was excited about the book.
I got to admit, towards the end of his run, I think I dropped it because I was getting bored with it. I don't remember a lot about it. The initial storyline was really cool, especially with Ares.
Yeah.
And I seem to recall Cheetah and a couple other things. But eventually, it was just one of those books that I wandered away from. I probably just collected it and never read it, kind of like a certain arachnid I know.
Yeah. Then there was the 90s era where you've already talked about. Wonder Woman got replaced by a more violent version.
And Deodato was in on that, so that
yes.
Has a little steam behind it.
Yep. I couldn't read them. I honestly couldn't read them. Because, oh good, yet another character being replaced by a more violent, crazy version that will be in place for 3 years and then they'll fight. Then you had John Byrne take over and he completely rewrote all the continuity. Oh, you know all that stuff they had about how there was no Wonder Woman in the 40s and, you know, we did all these continuity fixes? No, no, no. Wonder Woman's mom traveled back in time and became Wonder Woman during World War II.
And I actually thought that was a pretty cool idea. I mean,
if not for the fact that they'd already explained all those stories.
Yeah, but the thing was, nobody was reading those. That was all, what was it called? Young All-Stars or something?
Young All-Stars and then in the Justice Society.
Yeah, nobody's reading that.
Yeah, well, nobody read the Byrne stuff either.
Yeah. Good art, though.
And then they had the Infinite Crisis where, oh, we're bringing in a new creative team and Donna Troy is going to be Wonder Woman. And that got so delayed that what was it? They brought in a new creative team and said, by the way, we're going to finish this story in a year or two. I liked Gail Simone's run on Wonder Woman. I thought it was good, but it didn't grab me like the Perez run. Mm-hmm. And then now there's the JMS where it's an alternate history Elseworlds version that'll be going for a year. And who knows if it will affect anything.
Yeah. far more importantly now is Wonder Woman gone from modern? You know, I mean, are we going to see? I mean, they pretty much written out the big three in Justice Society or Justice League. You know, so is it just all of a sudden people are going to like, oh, we're not going to have Wonder Woman wandering around in the current time anymore?
How would you like to be the person who writes the Justice League who, hey, here's the Justice League. You get to write it. Oh, cool. I get it. Oh, by the way, no Superman, no Batman, no Wonder Woman.
You can't have Dick Grayson. He's Batman.
No Green Lantern, no Flash. No Martian Manhunter because he's dead for a while. You basically, Aquaman's dead too. So you can't have any of the seven heroes that constitute the Justice League. Here you go. Oh.
You know, I have those in my box yet to read. And of course, I haven't gotten to the JLA-JSA crossover. But let's turn to the last of the three that got renumbered. And I just picked up a 701. That's the beauty of the podcast. When we first started, it was early morning. We had some technical issues. We're now, it's the same day later that evening. I went and got my comics for the day, and I found a Batman 701. So I have them. I've only read 700. And how long is Grant Morrison on Batman before he goes over to Batman Inc.?
He's doing a two-issue fill-in while they get the new team in place. So he's really writing 700, 701, 702. 701 and 2 were kind of, gosh, we've got this hole in the schedule, Grant. Do you have anything that you could put in there? And he said, you know, why don't I go and fill in all the gaps that people are complaining about between Batman RIP and Final Crisis? And even though I feel it's a story that didn't need to be told because I'm one of the five people on the planet who understood Final Crisis, I guess, because everybody else bitches about it. I loved it.
I don't bitch about it. I just want an annotated version of 4 through, how many issues was it? 7, 8?
It was 7 issues.
They did the number one, the director's cut, and once I got it, I was like, wow. There was a lot of things that went right through my head that I didn't catch. But they never go back and do it. Yeah, it's all online, but, you know, I'd like it in a comic book form. You know, it was fun to read that way, especially when you're catching the little things that, you know, maybe even you might have missed, you know?
Well, do you remember when 2 came out? I remember I called you when 2 came out and went, oh my God, this is the greatest comic ever. And I remember going down the list and you, of all the things that I was just, this is so cool. And you were like, oh wow, that really? Huh? Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So. See, he's bringing up a bunch of, you know, old stuff. It's almost like he should have had a, hey guys, before you read this, reread this, you know, that type of thing. I enjoyed Batman 700. I thought it was a fun story. It took me a bit to get what he was doing, but you know, rereading it, I thought it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to 101, 102. I suppose I better drop Batman now because I'm just going to follow what Morrison does as he goes into his own title. Even though it's $3.99, I'll give it a shot. Again, just because I respect him. He could be writing Little Dot for all I care, and I would follow along to see what he does.
You know what? Grant Morrison writing Little Dot, you know, with all the weird aunts and uncles and her dot obsession, that would be the greatest comic in the history of mankind.
Boy, I hope he's listening.
Dear Grant, please take over the Harvey universe. Could you imagine a Grant Morrison Richie Rich book? Oh,
that would be nasty. I wonder if he'd make the connection that other people have. Casper's obviously the ghost of Richie Rich.
When I was a little kid in grade school, that was when the Richie Rich books just exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember my favorites were Vault of Mystery, which Richie Rich, you know, solving mysteries. All little kids love that. And then there was this minor character that I just thought was so cool. And most people don't even remember. Do you remember Jackie Jokers?
It rings a vague bell, but I might be thinking of somebody else.
It was one of Richie Rich's friends who was the youngest stand-up comedian. You know, he was like, you know, same age as Richie Rich, but he traveled around the country as a stand-up comedian.
No, I was thinking about his snooty cousin, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember their names. But Jackie Jokers had his own comic, and I remember seeing the ad for it and going, oh, my God, I have to have this. I have to have this. And couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh.
Anywhere. And it haunts me to this day.
It should. That's the type of thing that could scar a man.
I need a hug.
No, sorry, I'm about 20 miles away.
It sounds like you're eating.
No, actually, I'm just sipping out of my Homeland Security Alaska glass, a little bit diet cranberry apple juice.
So the Homeland Security has their own glasses and mugs.
Oh, yeah. Coming to a shop near you.
I
found out if you want real TSA garb, just like we wear, go on eBay and check it out. Apparently there's a rap band that goes by the name TSA.
Oh, God.
And just buy some old McDonald's shirts. They're the same color as what our uniforms are.
And are they like the McDonald's outfits where when you wear them, they feel like they're made out of used soda bottles?
I don't know about that, but I do know they're made with formaldehyde. You know, the same thing that in every other country in the world is listed as a carcinogenic, but apparently in the U.S. it's not.
Well, not when you're making uniforms for people who make minimum wage.
Oh, we make more than minimum wage. We just, anyways, the only other thing I read out of my 700 plus bucks of comics that I picked up is.
By the way, do we have to hide this podcast from the wife?
She don't listen to them anyways.
Okay, that's good.
Very disappointed. I picked out the three issues of Knights of the Dinner Table by Kenzer and Company. This, by far, has got to be one of my favorite comic books. I had a copy a long time ago of, like, issues number 1 through 5. And I know I think I ended up selling them to Nick for his own collection. But it's simplistic art, but it basically, the strips in the series consist of five people sitting around playing Hackmaster, which is their version of Dungeons and Dragons, and we're not only following what goes on in their personal life, but also what goes on around the table, but you're also following about how their adventures go. And it's phenomenal. It's just something I enjoy. If you haven't got a chance, pick it up. If you're into gaming, if you've ever been into gaming, you'll really appreciate this book. The second half of the book deals mostly with gaming. Not all of it's things that I follow, but there's some good columns. One guy talks about comics. Another guy talks about watching movies, and if you were to put them into a game, how you could use it. There's review of games. There's people talking about things. It's a $4.99 comic, and you know how I am about $3.99 comics, but I'm willing to pay that for this one every month after month, because it's just phenomenal.
And it's 80 pages.
It's a vertical magazine. It's huge. You get a lot of reading out of that. In the To Be Read Immediately pile, I've got my Star Trek magazines and the graphic novels. I'm just dying to get to these. I mean, I got Chew number 2, John Sable Freelance Ashes of Eden by Mike Grell, which I believe is the original graphic novel. I was teasing Pat because he's such a big Mike Grohl fan. Even he missed that one.
Like, oh, wow.
Well, I don't think he looks in IDW that much.
They're not Marvel or DC.
Not Marvel. No good, Pap. Also, IDW had an Archie, Pure Heart the Powerful, Volume 1.
Oh.
I had to pick that one up. Proof, Volume 4. That one's from Image. Life and Times of Martha Washington Collection. From Dark Horse.
I want to second that one. Here's the other thing about that. It came out, 2 years ago, 3 years ago as a hardcover for $100.
Yep, and much as it killed me. you know, I love those $100 books. I just, it's like when Ronin came out in an absolute edition. I read the story. I liked them. Not enough to get a $100 reprint.
But the trade paperback's only $30.
And you know, but with and you look around, you're probably going to find a discount on it. It is. This is one I am going to save for my next deployment and drag with me. The last one I picked up is Girl Genius Volume or Book 9. And Girl Genius is interesting because it started out as a comic book. I think I say his name right. Phil and
Folio. Kaja.
What I'm trying to think of his wife's name. Kaja?
Yes.
And it started out as a comic strip. Eventually, they went to online. So if you go Google Girl Genius, you'll be able to not only look at the current web strip, but go back and read it from the very first page and go forward. That's how I spent last summer when I was stuck in D.C. working. It was just one of those things I caught up. Once he gets it done, he is very forward about telling you, okay, the hardcover trade's coming, the softcover trade's coming. He releases them both at the same time, so you can pick up either one. And I tend to go for the softcover, mainly because I didn't start with the hardcovers. I wish I had, because this is a book like Kingdom Come and Watchmen I read over and over. I let my girls read it. The beauty of this is go check out the web strip, and if you like it, you know, you can just read it there or just buy the books. So that's my must-read stuff. And like I said, I've got still long boxes of stuff. I'll mention stuff as podcasts go on, things that I read that I enjoy. But these I'm just look, my nose is bleeding already. I'm just too excited, man. I gotta read this stuff. How about you, Corey? What's got your eye on the other side of town here? Besides being right next to the Renfest.
I've been working all the time.
Other than chasing bats, have you got a chance to actually see a movie?
I saw Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, you know what? I picked up volume one of that today. How's the movie?
The movie is so much fun. It's the first movie I've seen this summer that just had a sense of pure fun. But I can also see why people over 30 don't like it much, and I can see why, because it's very much video game, focused on what it's like to be fresh out of high school or college and not know what you want to do with your life. Visually, very comic booky, very video gamey. When I saw it, I went with the roommate, and we were loving it, and in front of us was this older couple. And you could tell by how they were shifting in their seats and whispering to each other that they hated every second they were in the theater.
You know, it's times like that that you sneak into another movie.
And I did see another movie. Going to make a call back to Octoshark. I saw Piranha 3D.
Oh. And?
It's exactly what you expect. It's the kind of movie that would have been shown at a drive-in back in the 70s. It's gore and nudity and not much of a plot.
I just want to know what the guy with the outboard motor, what he thought he was doing. That was the only thing in the commercial that caught me.
Well, that's Bing Rames, who was in Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he's run out of bullets, so he grabs an outboard engine and is going back and forth in the water to kill the piranha so that the people can make it to shore.
With that type of weapon, I don't think he survived, did he? Don't tell me. I want to see it.
No, nobody survives. Come on.
Oh, you got to. Oh, I always thought one blonde survives.
It was a lot of fun, but I tell you what, it's no Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
And on that note,
I got one thing to plug.
Okay, another plug?
It occurred to me in the afternoon. As you guys know, I'm back home. I've got my Toy Peddler account. That's www.thetoypeddler.com going. And, of course, it's Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. I haven't put anything on it yet, but I do have my old cars in that up. So if you're interested in selling cars or anything, but I do want to mention that the Toy Peddler is having a membership drive contest for the month of September. So if you're interested in checking out the Toy Peddler, go do it. It's a great place to not only do diecast, but they also have other categories you can put stuff in there, especially if you're tired of eBay. If you do sign up to be a member and the memberships are free, say that I referred you, K-R-A-Y-Z. They will be verifying email and contact info, so just don't bogus it. But if you are interested, check it out. And they're basically giving drawings for people that sign up and things like that, if you sign people up afterwards and so. Also remember, when you do sign up, be sure to mention that you're a new member, and he'll give you $5 in free listing credits to use them if you want or not. So, and I tell you, I've sold stuff on Toy Peddler. It's nice because you set the price. I also buy things off Toy Peddler, like the aforementioned Hot Wheel Wonder Woman Invisible Plane, which I finally got to look at. As my wife said when she looked at the package, where is it? I said, it's invisible. How do you know what's in there? I said, surely Mattel's got better things to do than rip my money off for an invisible plane inside a Hot Wheel package. So I'm scared to open it, though, because if I drop it, I'll never find it again.
And on that note, just like to remind everyone that the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most.
Oh, I also forgot to mention the Archie comic. Remember Veronica 202 with that gay guy? It's out. Run, get it before the conservatives do and burn every copy.
How long till Sarah Palin tweets about how Archie hates America?